Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Thursday, March 4th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high quality content that is really hoping the Flyers can pull one out tonight.
Definitely hoping that, but I think they will. I'm going to try to go positive, and I think that they'll be able to rebound after Tuesday's game.
Yeah, I think so too. So to keep track of the latest updates before tonight's game, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. You can also keep track of our episodes, all that good stuff. And if you want to email us any mailbag questions, you can do that at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
And today we are going to talk more about the Pittsburgh Penguins with our special guest, Taylor Haas of DK Pittsburgh Sports. She has such great insight into the team, and it was cool getting her perspective on the rivalry as it currently stands.
And just to see what, like, from an outsider's perspective of the Flyers, it's so interesting.
It really is. To get all of our episodes, subscribe to Locked On Flyers on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, so you'll get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, so we'd love to welcome to the show Taylor Haas of DK Pittsburgh Sports to talk more about our frenemies, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and tonight's second of the three in a row matchups against the Pens. Welcome, Taylor.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on.
So much fun. And, you know, we love to hate the Pens, but always appreciate the perspective of Pens experts. So we're thrilled to have you here. Now, what was it like having fans in the arena from your perspective for that first time? You know, we didn't get a chance to get into it too much on our show yesterday, and we know that it's just around the corner for the Flyers. So what was it like from the Pens perspective?
Yeah, that was really interesting. The Penguins have done a good job at pumping in the fake crowd noise before the fans, and you know, they would mix in let's go Pens chants recordings, but just having the spontaneous chants and cheers back, that was different. Like Jari had that big big toe save later in the game, and just hearing the Jari chants, that's something that the players notice. And a couple of them spoke after the game. Kapanen said it felt like there were 20,000 fans in there. So it was cool to have that atmosphere back. It was still, looking around, you're seeing people without their masks on. The concourses were crowded, didn't look like the safest situation. I don't know how you remedy that. I don't know what else they can do. I know the Penguins implemented mobile ordering for concessions this year, so you don't have to stand in those lines. They can't force people to follow it. The atmosphere was cool, just a little, I guess, concerning seeing the masks and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was one thing that was kind of concerning when you looked at when you were watching the game. There were a couple of people that just had their masks down, and they weren't really that spread out. I know they were probably with their group that they came with, but it was a little concerning to watch on TV. It's just jarring to see people in sports games. It's still jarring.
Yeah.
But before we get into what was going on in the ice, what was the general reaction in Pittsburgh having hired Ron Hextall, and how do you think it's been working out so far with Brian Burke?
Yeah. So Burke, he's the president of hockey operations, technically above Hextall. He's kind of his advisor. It's hard to say what their relationship, their roles are like now. They did both say when they were introduced that there's probably going to be a lot of overlap. Nothing's really happened other than, a few taxi squad AHL shuffles. So really not sure how they're working together yet. We do see them together, sitting together, practice, always talking. But, the reaction... the players and coaches seems pretty status quo. They're not gonna change what they're doing based off of this. I know Crosby did say it was really funny to, you know, just what it means for the rivalry, you know, like Hextall coming over here. From the reaction from the fans, it's pretty mixed with Hextall, because, I mean, I think a segment of it, I mean, they're not going to like him just because he's a Flyer, but then, like, another segment of it, it seems like, you know, like, oh, this would make it that much more sweeter to win with their guy. So, yeah, pretty mixed reaction, I think, from the fan base. But, I mean, players, everything like that, it's, yeah, nothing really changed for them.
Yeah, it's definitely been weird for us, I would say. But, you know, I guess man's entitled to work, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine what the equivalent would be for like, a Penguins player going to work for the Flyers. That would, I mean, well, I compared it to like 2012 when Yager and Talbot both jumped ship to Philly, and they knocked out the Penguins that year, and I think that maybe made it sting a little bit more that, you know, it was like Yager and Talbot knocking out the Penguins with the Flyers. So I think you know, like, there is like a segment of the Penguins fan base that, you know, would like to see that in reverse, you know, take out the Flyers with Hextall. So, yeah, we'll see.
Sure. That makes sense. Speaking of those small moves you mentioned that Ron Hextall has made so far, you know, it's a small move for Pittsburgh. It's a huge move for me personally. I was a huge fan of Mark Friedman. We both like Mark Friedman, but I was more personally attached to him, I think, just as a prospect. And I thought he really could have gotten some playing time. But, you know, what do you think the plan for him is there?
Yeah, it's interesting because the Penguins have, like, so many defensemen now. It's tough. I mean, because they got a couple coming back. Rikla, Dumoulin almost healthy. So I'm not sure what ends up happening with Friedman. He did just play his first game the first game against the Flyers. And he only played 10 minutes. We really didn't get to see a whole lot of him. I did just ask Sullivan Wednesday afternoon about him. He seemed very impressed with, you know, how he fit in with the system for his first game. It's tough because, I mean, if they do, you know, get healthy on defense and, you know, guys like, if they want to bring guys like Pio back up, they're not able to send Friedman down to the taxi squad or like Wilkes-Barre without putting him on waivers first. And, I mean, if they were to do that, and no other team put in a claim from him, like, the Flyers would just be able to take him right back and put him on, you know, their taxi squad. So, I mean, there's a chance you might get him back. I mean, I think it says a lot, you know, about how Hextall feels about him to take him back, you know, again. Chose him twice now in the draft and then on waivers. But if they just don't end up having a spot for him, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him end back up in Philly on the waiver wire.
Yeah, that we were thinking the same thing. But then it would just seem so pointless for Ron to pick him up. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
The NHL season is in full swing, and it's time to decide what bets you're thinking of making before they drop the puck each night. And the perfect place to go for that is our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action.
And football might be over, but we still have hockey, basketball, college basketball, and baseball right around the corner. And BetOnline even has awards, TV shows, and reality TV, which you can bet on, which is great news if you are watching this season's The Bachelor, like us. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine.
BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today with the promo code LOCKEDON and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you need to know about the Flyers, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
In the last game on Tuesday, Crosby was out due to COVID protocols. And so the team definitely looks a lot different, especially with Zucker out. How do you think the Pens adjusted successfully without Crosby in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, you saw Kapanen was a big part of that. He was, you know, the guy that replaced Crosby on the power play. And That seemed to work out. He was shooting the puck, which is something that, you know, the power play wasn't doing a whole lot of before. But yeah, they were shooting the puck. And you know, when they do shoot the puck, the power play is more mobile. It just looks better overall. I mean, the forward line combinations, we saw kind of what we thought we would see with Malkin being reunited with Gensel and Rust. Malkin, quite night on the stat sheet, but, you know, if Crosby is out for another game, maybe two, I wouldn't be surprised to see Malkin start popping off again. Malkin was at his best last season when Crosby was out with his core muscle injury. So he's always stepped up, you know, in Crosby's absence throughout his career. So we didn't see a whole lot of that last game, but I wouldn't be surprised to. But I thought even like the AHL call-ups they had in the bottom six, Angelo, Kareem, you know, fared well. But it definitely, you know, really complicates things because, I mean, all the forward lines were shuffled. You know, they normally have, you know, like Aston, Reese, Blugertanev together. That's one of their better lines. But, I mean, that there's no way to keep that together. So, I mean, getting Crosby back would be huge just for restoring, you know, the balance they're used to. But I think they did okay in the interim.
Yeah, I would say they did more than okay.
Yeah, not bad.
So this season, special teams have kind of been a bit of a problem for both the Flyers and the Pens. Hasn't been that great overall. But the Pens did shut down the Flyers' power play on Tuesday. What do you think the Flyers need to do to get around that system there? Is there any, like, secret code that we should know or they should know?
It's tough because, I mean, the Penguins' penalty kill, it's like, you know, they're hovering like in the standings around the bottom of the league, but the version you get on any given night, like it's hard to know what to expect. I mean, the Washington series, you know, they went into that series with, you know, the Caps had the number one ranked power play and, you know, the Penguins at the bottom of the league and the PK. And that first game, the Caps had two power play opportunities and they held them without a single shot. And I went back and, you know, looked at the video and they really didn't even let the Caps get set up at all. And, you know, when I asked a couple PKers and Sullivan about it after, you know, the thing they kept repeating was cooperative pressure, just coming together in the neutral zone and shutting down the power play. But then, you know, they went to the Islanders and the PK was awful. And then, so, you know, going into this series, we were wondering what we were going to see, and it seems like it's more looking like the power play the penalty kill that, you know, showed up against the Caps. And in that first game, we did see a lot of that cooperative pressure. I don't know how you, as a power play, what they do to fight against that, but I think, yeah, just the penalty killers being able to come together in the neutral zone and really keep the Flyers from getting set up a whole lot. That was the key.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. And it always seems like the Pens just, not, I wouldn't say elevate their play against Washington and Philly, but they definitely tried to play their best against Washington and Philly. Whereas with the Islanders, I don't know if I would say that. Yeah. But speaking again on Tuesday, I mean, and you brought up Kapanen. He was a huge surprise for me. In that game, was there any other surprises that came out of that?
I don't know if there are a whole lot of surprises. I think, I mean, Jari was outstanding, but given the way he's been playing, you know, the past like eight or so games, not that much of a surprise. But I mean, 40 saves. He was great, especially on the penalty kill. I mean, Sullivan said, you know, their best penalty killer was Jari. So it's nice to see Jari step up like that, but he's been slowly getting better. Cause he did, you know, he had a rough start to the season. He has been slowly getting better and, looking more like the Jari we saw last season. So that was a pleasant surprise, but also a little bit expected, but yeah, he would be my pick for that.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised by Aston Reese. I just like hadn't really noticed him a ton before, but I felt like he stood out a bit.
He's another guy that's been really good this season. I mean, when he was injured to start the season, but he's typically on that third line with Tanev and Bluger. They were, you know, broken up, you know, in the last game. But Aston Reese, he's been good, really good since he came back. He really hasn't had a bad game either. the biggest thing with him. So he had, you know, shoulder surgery, and he said, you know, it feels better. His shoulder feels better than it did last season, because what he said was that, you know, that his shoulder issue dates back to an injury in his first season in the NHL, and he's just been dealing with it since then. It wasn't bad enough to require surgery, and it just weakened more and more over time before it finally, you know, necessitated surgery. So he said now that, you know, he had the surgery and he's, you know, feeling 100%, that it just gives him much more confidence with like battles along the boards. And I mean, it looks like it's helping his shooting because he's scoring more too, but he's been a pleasant surprise since he came back, really.
So it seems like Crosby is still going to be out for the next couple of games, but do you see any adjustments being made in the lineup, changing lines, or, you know, any other things going on with the team?
Yeah, I think he'll be maybe, I would say, at least out, you know, Thursday's game. You need two consecutive tests. I don't know if Tuesday counted as a day without, as like a negative test. It's hard to say. So, I mean, if he is out, I think at least on the bottom six, because they did shuffle around the fourth line guys a bit. It seems like they have a couple of guys that are getting close. Rodriguez is getting close to returning. One of the forwards, Jankowski, it seems like he's going to come back soon. He only missed, I think, two or three games. And then on defense, I mean, Dumoulin and Rico are both, all those guys participated in full practice, full contact. So Sullivan wouldn't say yet if they're going to play in Thursday's game, but I know if they get healthy, those are going to be some adjustments that happen, because those guys have to get back into the lineup. But it seems like they're maybe preparing for at least one forward to come back into the lineup. And Jankowski is center, I think, is the guy who would come back first, replacing Curry on the fourth line. Not the biggest adjustment, but then again, with the way, I mean, they played in that first game, they really don't need to make a whole lot of adjustments.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. But if Brian Dumoulin comes back, that's a huge addition on their defense.
Yeah.
But you brought up Jari. How do you see goaltending shaking out in the next two games for the Penguins?
He has to start Thursday, and then what's the third game? Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
You ride him until you have a back to back. You have to. DeSmith was good against the Islanders in that, you know, second, because that was a back to back when he played against the Islanders, and he was fine in that. But I mean, you have to ride Jari until you have a back, you know, or if he has a bad game. But I mean, you ride him until you have to take him out.
That's so not the Flyers goaltending philosophy.
Yeah,
sometimes, well, I mean, I wish they would do that sort of thing, you know, and just like keep playing hard, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, because he struggled too to start the season. Him and Jari were kind of in the same boat at the beginning of the year. I know the stat I love for goaltenders is the goals saved above expectation, which, if you don't know, so expected goals is basically a stat that takes into account like the quality of shots a team is taking or facing. And then for goalies, you basically, you know, subtract the actual goals allowed from their expected goals allowed. And if you end up with a positive number, they're basically overperforming based on, you know, the type of shots they're facing. And if you end up with a negative number, they're underperforming. And Hart and Jari were really, you know, two of the goalies like hovering around like the worst in that stat in the beginning of the league. But I mean, both of them seem like they're on the way up. And I think the difference is that what Elliott's more of a proven backup to Smith. I mean, he was an AHL goalie last year, and he's been fine in this role to start. But Jari is like the clear number one to Smith. You know, you can't keep turning to him as much as they were earlier in the season.
You know, Danielle, I am really trying hard to learn as many new skills as I can right now. And one of those things is auto repair. And the perfect place to help me out in that is rockauto.com. They're an amazing website where you can get auto parts at the same low prices for everybody, no matter who you are. They don't change their prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. It's for everybody, and it does not require a membership or an account login.
I love rockauto.com because they're a family business and they've been serving auto parts online for 20 years. When you go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers, they have everything you need, from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. And you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long, dynasty, and DFS leagues, breaking down all the stats and information to keep you ahead of the competition. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Based on what you've seen from the Flyers on Tuesday and the season overall, like, what do you think about the Flyers overall? Like, how do you see them in the context of the East Division, and like, where do you think they'll end up?
I still think they make the playoffs. Right now, I think my picks for, you know, the top three to finish in the division are still Boston, Philly, and Washington. That force either, I mean, this is the toughest division in the league. It's going to be really tight. A lot could still change based on, you know, trades, the deadline, what happens then. But I mean, for that fourth spot, if those are the top three between like the two New York teams, the Penguins, even the Devils are looking pretty good. I mean, it could be anyone's spot. I mean, and maybe, you know, one of the teams I mentioned, they could fall out of it too. I think like the only certain I think is that Buffalo's probably not going to make it. But even then, like, I don't think they're as bad as we thought they'd be. But I mean, the Flyers, I think they're a playoff team again. Carter Hart's been real question there, so I don't know how deep of a run you make if he doesn't start playing, I guess, the way he did last season. But then again, we thought that about Jari too, not even like 2 weeks ago, that, you know, like, oh, are the Penguins gonna have to go out and get a goaltender, and then he just turned it around. So I think for those young goalies, it can be tough, you know, just especially with the weird season. So I think I wouldn't be too worried about the Flyers, especially if Carter Hart can get if to turn things around and start playing more like he did last season.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, everything hinges on goaltending, truly, especially when you get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But before we let you go, definitely wanted to sneak in a little Phantoms question. So you, in addition to the Penguins, you cover like all of the Pittsburgh's like organizational teams. So you got to see the Phantoms last week and just wanted to know what your thoughts on Max Willman and Zade Wisdom were after the two games.
Yeah. Willman didn't stand out a whole lot to me. I mean, that second game, he did have two goals. The one of them, it was a really weird bounce. So like pinballed in, it redirected three times off of, you know, two Penguins defensemen, but Zade Wisdom, I mean, he's like, the Wilkes-Barre is going to play Lehigh Valley a lot this season, and he's going to make things really hard for them. I've been watching him a lot because, you know, I wrote something over the summer, fall, whatever it is now, leading up to the draft about, you know, who the Penguins should take with their third round pick. And I had him at the top of my list, everything I read about him. I can't believe he fell, you know, he was available when the Penguins picked then. They didn't take him. They took a second goalie in the draft, but I can't believe he fell as late as he did. He's been outstanding. I don't know what his point totals is now, but it was like, I know he was like at least a point per game going into that series against Wilkes-Barre, and then just some of the moves he was making. He had a really nice assist, I think, in that second game. He scored, I think, goals in each game against them, but he doesn't look like a rookie like out there, and he's yeah, like a lot of flashy moves, I guess is the right word. He just looks so comfortable. You don't see a whole lot of rookies, you know, making their pro debuts, making some of the moves that he just feels comfortable and confident doing. So, I mean, if this is just the start for him, I can't imagine where he's going to go from here.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. He doesn't look like a rookie, and it's just mind-blowing that he is 18 and he should be playing in juniors right now.
Yeah.
Because he looks just so comfortable out there.
Yeah, I mean, but I see like 20-year-old, you know, rookies around the league who,
yeah,
and they're not able to do the things that he's doing. So yeah, he's just I liked him going into the draft. I had him as, you know, my pick of who the Penguins should be looking at, but just to see what he's done since. I mean, he should have been picked way higher than he was.
Yeah, we feel really, really lucky about that.
Yeah, and see, and the Penguins need those, like, mid-round, like, steals. I mean, the Penguins ended up picking a pretty, you know, good goalie, but you just wonder what could have been with Wisdom.
For sure.
So, Taylor, is there anything on the Pens front that we haven't talked about that you think Flyers fans would want to know?
I mean, I think we pretty much covered it this series, but yeah, that Wilkes-Barre and Lehigh Valley, that's gonna be another big rivalry to watch too.
Yeah,
because they're gonna be playing each other. I can't remember how many times this year, but
like 43 something. Yeah, like
it's as crazy as like the NHL schedule. The AHL schedule is like way crazier. So it'll be interesting to see how both rivalries pan out this season.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been amazing.
Yeah, anytime.
Once again, thank you to Taylor for joining us to talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it's always rough, like, trying to be rational about the Pens, but Taylor's so knowledgeable and it just makes it really easy and fun to learn about that team.
Yeah, it's with people who cover the team that aren't like quote unquote fans, they're always like more rational, which I appreciate. So, yeah, I mean, you know, she said it, that the Pens played above what, you know, was expected of them. So I really do feel good about going into tonight's game.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, fingers crossed we get a better outcome this time. So wrapping things up with our Flyers fun thing. Now, we did get to talk a little bit about Wilkes-Barre Scranton Pens versus Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And so we're going to sneak a little Phantoms fun thing in here as well. And the Phantoms on their Instagram posted the most adorable picture of Zade Wisdom when he was 2 years old with the former Toronto Maple Leaf captain Wendell Clark. It's such a cute picture. And apparently, according to the caption, you know, the Phantoms played Hershey last night and Wendell Clark's son, Cody, plays on Hershey now. So it all comes together.
Yeah. I mean, hockey, it's always full circle with situations like that. But Wisdom was such a cute kid.
So adorable. All right. So thank you for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow with a recap of tonight's game. And of course, we'll have our gritty thing of the week. As a reminder, we want to hear from you. Send us in your questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email us at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle, and you can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.